Te atavai me te rangimari o te atua. Grace and peace to you from God. Kia hoa ko e manaaki. The Lord bless you. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings to you all on this special morning as we remember our precious dead and those for whom the wars of the last century have brought grief. We acknowledge and warmly greet the Honourable Marion Hobbs and the Honourable Annette King, MPs, the Mayor of Wellington, Kerry Prendergast, Mr. Alex Shaw, Colonel Lloyd, who's on behalf of the British High Commission, and our speaker this morning, Mr. John Campbell, President of the Wellington Returned and Services Association, the RSA. And we acknowledge also the presence of representatives of the New Zealand Defence Forces. We have gathered together some who fought in the wars of the past century, some who were injured and bear those scars to this day, some who served sacrificially at home, some who lost loved ones in those sad conflicts, some who remember the anxiety about the dangers faced by ones they loved, some who are too young to remember those wars, but know enough to yearn for peace. All of us have assembled at this sacred place in our city to remember and to hope. We are linked by our common memories with others gathered around memorials like this throughout New Zealand and Australia, and our fellow Commonwealth nations in Gallipoli itself and in other places. As we remember our Creator, the source of light and hope, we sing the hymn, Lead Kindly Light. Let us keep a moment's silence as we prepare to pray. We who have been given the precious gift of life bow humbly in the presence of the author of life. You, O God, were the friend of Abraham, Jehovah to Moses, or Yahweh the ever-present one. Jesus called you Father, Te Atua to the ancient people of this land. At the beginning of this special day, we search our hearts for you, for in you we live and move and have our being. We remember the wars which have brought such suffering to your world. We grieve for those whose lives were cut short, and those who suffered injury and pain and distress in their spirit. And especially today, we remember the sacrifices made by young men, good men, at Gallipoli 91 years ago. And we remember all those men, women, and many children who died when nations were at war just because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. May our solemn memories at this time and our offering of prayer to you be a source of comfort and a challenge to do all we can to remove the causes of war and to become people who create peace and reconciliation among all people. Amen. We sing the hymn, Nearer My God to Thee. The second verse refers to Jacob, who in a stony place found that God was near, and Bethel means God's house.
Received its baptism of fire and became one of the immortal names in history. We who are gathered here think of the comrades who went out with us to battle but did not return. It is fitting that we should keep this dawn vigil together in remembrance and gratitude. We feel them still near us in the spirit. We wish to be worthy of their great sacrifice, Let us therefore once again dedicate ourselves to the service of the ideals for which they died. As the dawn is even now about to pierce the night, so let their memory inspire us to work for the coming of the new light in the dark places of the world. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.
Let us keep silence as the wreaths are laid by Mr. Jim Windsor for the Wellington RSA and Captain McCallum, Royal Australian Navy, for the people of Australia.
Thank you.
Eternal God, we have heard the last post. We have kept silence. And the Reveille has reminded us that at the end of every dark night, the dawn breaks and life must go on. We thank you for this sacred time of remembrance. We thank you for those who died that we might live in freedom. We thank you for the people who care, who surround us now. We thank you for our beautiful and peaceful land. We thank you for those who rule this nation with its best interests at heart. We thank you for the members of the Army and Navy and Air Force who protect our country and the police who guard us. And we thank you for those who teach our young citizens, those who practice medicine, those who farm the land, those who serve in our shops, who build our roads and towns, for all who contribute to our common life. Make us a people of peace. Help us to see the good in people who are different from us. Lift our spirits, and looking to you, give us hope for the future and the conviction that life is truly worth living and your eternal presence is with us forever. Amen. So, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, we say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing the hymn, God of our Fathers.
Dims the memory of ordinary events, but not great events in the nation's history. Great events, whether in peace or war, live on in our memories, regardless of time. They are deemed great, not necessarily for what they achieve, not for whether they are reckoned to be victories or successes. Rather, the great events are distinguished by the quality of the human endeavour they call upon, by the examples they create for ordinary men and women, and the legends they inspire. So it was with Gallipoli. On April the 25th, 1915, 16,000 New Zealanders and Australians surged ashore at the foot of the rugged cliffs on the Dardanelles Peninsula in Turkey to open a campaign intended to give Allied shipping access to the Black Sea and to bring help to Russia and perhaps force Turkey out of the war. It was, historians say, an ill-conceived campaign in pursuit of a vague objective premised on an underestimation of the military prowess and character of the Turkish soldiers and of the tactical advantages the Turkish held. But the cream of the Australian and New Zealand armies, volunteers all, committed themselves with no hesitation about the nobility of their cause and fought with great courage, skill and audacity. 8 months later, when the last of them was withdrawn, more than 11,000 young New Zealanders and Australians lay dead, and with them many more Allied and Turkish soldiers. Gallipoli was a tactical defeat, but the achievement of the Anzacs could be measured other than on the battlefield. It was just not that New Zealanders and Australians were serving overseas in the name of their fledgling nations for the first time. For New Zealanders and Australians, Anzac is our own day. It's a day on which we mark the deeds of men and women who come to see themselves as New Zealanders and who were mourned by people who regarded themselves as New Zealanders. The first Anzacs indeed command and deserve the respect and remembrance of present and future generations of all New Zealanders and Australians. It was Gallipoli which gave us pride, not in war, but in the knowledge that Kiwis, when put to the test, would not fail. That spirit and tradition has sustained our forces in many later battles and trials, and in many ways sustains us now. The men who forged the Anzac spirit and the men and women who followed them earned their respect. They all understood the values of independence, freedom and fairness, and above all possessed a willingness to defend those things if need be, because freedom only survives as long as people are willing to defend it. That is the spirit of Anzac handed down to us. If we lose that Anzac spirit, we lose all. So here we stand today, alongside tens of thousands of others in cities and townships throughout New Zealand, to honour men and women and a great tradition. We gather, as we shall always gather, not to glorify war, but to remind ourselves that we value who we are and the freedoms that we possess, and to acknowledge the courage and sacrifice of those who contributed so much in the shaping of this very proud nation. In the face of adversity, the original Anzacs demonstrated, beyond any doubt, the necessary military virtues of duty, courage, teamwork, resolution and self-sacrifice. But to those they added a few unique qualities of their own: mateship, trust, a discipline based on earned respect and not assumed worth, initiative, resourcefulness, wry humour, and what is often forgotten, a respect for the courage and capability of friend and foe alike. These are qualities that are now embedded in our national character. A distinguished soldier wrote at the end of World War I, somewhere between the bloody ridge of Chunuk Bear in 1915 and the black swamp of Passchendaele in 1917, New Zealand definitely found individuality and nationality. So today let us mourn our fallen sons and daughters, but also remember that they did not die in vain. They died for the high principles they believed in: peace, freedom and democracy. They brought honour and a new respect for their country. Their legacy should be seen to symbolise New Zealand's long commitment to peace in the world, as well as its stand against aggression and for liberty and the rule of international law. In recent years, many commentators have expressed amazement at the fact that the observance of Anzac Day continues to draw record crowds and increasing numbers of young people and children. However, those who are surprised by this fact show that they understand little about our national character. There is something very New Zealand in this. It is like our natural disposition to stick together in adversity. It is a simple gesture of acknowledgement and gratitude, and it flows from the deepest springs of our national character. Young New Zealanders do understand the determination, the tenacity and the courage of our Anzacs. They do know what they did. They know they stood out because of their values and qualities. Understanding these values and achievements should encourage young New Zealanders to develop the necessary personal attributes, skills, knowledge and dedication so they too can achieve their important place in our society. Increasing involvement of youth and the observance of Anzac Day shows clearly that our young people also remember and also respect the values that underline this day. Young people do not know just what it means to veterans when we see them here on days like this. Beside the overwhelming desire to remember and pay respect, there is slowly emerging in this day's observance a hint of celebration of our heritage and identity. New Zealanders are learning to applaud their veterans as they pass in veterans' parades, where once they stood in solemn silence. Applaud them while they are still with us. These words were written by a soldier at the end of World War II. Everything that was good from that small, remote country had gone into them. Sunshine and strength, good sense, patience, the versatility of practical men. They had confidence in themselves, knowing themselves as good as the best in the world could bring against them, and they marched into history. Today we remember all those who have served in all campaigns. Today we should remember and mark the service of our Vietnam veterans. This became one of the most bitter and divisive issues ever to confront our people. There was no hero's welcome home for our Vietnam veterans. They felt betrayed by the nation. We should remember they went because they were sent. They believed in the democratic tradition that the armed forces of a nation should obey the orders of their government. War is the most wasteful and destructive of human activities, and is likely the Vietnam War, a war which failed in its strategic objectives, was the most futile of those fought by New Zealanders. The service of New Zealanders in Vietnam was in a long and honourable tradition of services by New Zealanders throughout history. They fought in Vietnam as the heirs of the great Anzac tradition, and they look back with pride that they upheld that tradition. We as a fair-minded community should hope that no young New Zealander who answers the call ever returns to a community riven by the division and hostility they found on their homecoming. The voice and focus of dissent should be on those who sent them. That is how it ought to be, and may it always be thus. On this day we should remember, it is those that served, not the reporter who has given us freedom of speech. It is those who served, not the writer who has given us the freedom of speech. It is those that served, not the protester who gives us the freedom to demonstrate. It is those who served, who salute the flag, who serve beneath the flag, and whose coffins are draped by the flag, who allow others to criticise the flag. It is those who served and faced the enemy in the battle for survival. It is those who faced the hell of war, fighting for his and his comrades' lives, who allow the historians, protected by the safety of the passage of time, for the benefit of hindsight, and the safety of a free society, to interpret or record history as they might see it. These things we should remember. The spirit of Anzac is as relevant today to all of us as it was all those years ago. We need to be vigilant that our society remains one that values freedom, tolerance and a fair go. We need to maintain their sense of commitment, courage and perseverance to get through the tough times. The need for us all to look after each other is probably greater now than in the past. We need to show a sense of humanity and compassion. This day reminds us that wars are to be avoided. But when necessary, we must stand up for our values. Young Kiwi men and women on this very day are in harm's way around the globe. In Afghanistan, Iraq and the Solomons. We must remember they are serving our nation. This day requires us to reflect on the past with pride, but also to look ahead and build on the achievements of our predecessors. By displaying the characteristics of the Anzac spirit, comradeship, unselfishness and tenacity of spirit, we can all enrich the New Zealand society. The Anzac spirit exists in each one of us, so therefore let us be guided by that spirit in facing the national and personal challenges ahead, and let us strive to be worthy of the memory of those that we honour on this day. We should remind ourselves of the subscription for the inscription seen on war memorials throughout the country. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave you our today. But in the end, it hardly matters what I say here today. To paraphrase from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, the country will little note or long remember what I say here, but it can never forget what they did there.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Now we sing, O God, our help, in ages past. Creator, enrich your life. May God, the Redeemer, renew your hope. May God, the Spirit, dwell within you and give you peace now and forever. Amen.